This podcast contains some magical adult language. Listener discretion is advised. And sorry, Mom.
I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to...
Whoa. You're not Mickey Mouse. You're a rat.
Rat schmat. Besides, they're tourists. What do they know?
Welcome to Rat Castle, a progressive chat about theme park magic without the pixie dust. I am your host, your one might even say spiritual guide to the theme park community, your guru, possibly, with all the knowledge. I think we'd all agree that's a correct term. And with me are some of, I wanted to say my disciples, but that's not true because you are also gurus. You are also fellow prophets of the rat culture. So with me is fellow rat Janine. Hello, Janine.
Hello.
And also Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
And Dave, of course, couldn't be with us, nor could Victoria tonight. And unless it's plastic surgery, I don't think it's either one down below, which is Bri, how are you doing, sir? It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's great to see you all, too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, of course, you've been on the podcast before. It's the first time in the visual medium, though, and you get to see our beautiful faces, including your sister. She just likes to see you. She likes to make sure you're safe. So,
yes.
You know, it's all good there. It's all good. So, yeah, some news. Sarah, we talked with you and Victoria last time a little bit about the fact that you guys are going to go to Tokyo, and it looks like I will also be heading to Tokyo at a
so
different time. Thank you. At a different time than you two. I'm going in mid-May, which is literally the best time to go to Tokyo Disney, and there's no holidays or anything. So yeah, I'm very, very excited. It's going to be 4 days at the resort and 3 days in the park. But yeah, I couldn't go with you guys. We tried to make it work, but I'm going to be flying standby. And so
you still got a better deal.
I got a better deal, I think.
Way better than us.
Well, it's possible I'll be flying first class. We'll see. Fingers crossed. That can happen. I will drink my champagne and think of you guys as I live the bougie life.
But you know what? We'll be in Fantasy Springs.
That's so true. We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I don't get to see Fantasy Springs. That was a bit of a – I'm missing – Sinbad is going to be closed even when you guys are there, and then Fantasy Springs. There's a bit of me that wants to still buy some Xandu merchandise, and I'm a little bit like, am I allowed to buy – this is a very nerdy thing. Am I allowed to buy merchandise for an experience I wasn't able to have? I think the answer is yes.
Yes,
but, for sure.
Resoundingly but, so, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But so at the same time, you know.
Arguably – like even more justified
as long as it doesn't make me sad. Right.
I have two questions.
Yeah. I have two answers.
One, when is the actual opening date for Fantasy Springs?
June 6th.
Oh, of course.
Boom.
And two, what is the likelihood that they'll have like previews available, while you're there?
Like a opening. I don't know. It's a whole month in advance.
It's a whole month in advance.
But though, like a huge land like that, sometimes that happens. Yeah,
you're right.
Sometimes.
There's been no
like here in California. Yeah. Like I feel like Nintendo was previewing and soft open for like a long time.
Before
it
good point.
Yeah.
There's not been any news of it.
Yeah.
I will be thrilled if that's the case. And frankly, if it does happen, it's going to happen when I'm there because. The week before is Golden Week, which is like 3 or 4 Japanese holidays in 1 week, basically. And that's the hot season. That's when people do take off and go to Disney. And they're not going to want that like pressure for soft opening.
Totally.
So I don't know. There's a chance. But I'll be happy no matter what. So fingers
crossed.
We'll
pray for you.
Yes, we'll be talking about bless up. And we'll be talking about some of the merch that's coming out for Fantasy Springs in a little bit.
I just need to clarify that the energy on me yelling June 6th is that it's my birthday and Bri knows that. And so that was
just a real big fan of June 6th.
That's why I was so surprised. I was like, wow, she's so excited.
That's like, but, you know, Janine, you're the only traditional rat except Dave, I guess, but that is not going this year. So
And it's
Bri, I suggest you go just to make her mad. Just to even rat adjuncts beat Janine there, but it's okay. We'll bring you back some stuff, Janine. Don't you worry. Anyway, I think we should get to the news. Okay, let's begin with, we'll start with the East Coast. We'll stay at Walt Disney World, the Magic Kingdom. Well, this also, of course, this piece of news will work for Disneyland at some point, but we've seen it at the Magic Kingdom right now. Janine, who has got a real glow up theme-wise recently that we've all been able to take a gander at?
Tiana's. The swamp is in bloom. The scaffolding has, or a lot of the scaffolding has been taken down from the salt mine that the ride exists on. It's built around like the idea of a salt mine.
Right.
That was a new discovery for me. I didn't know that that's what, how they were justifying the mound.
Yes. Yes. I think it's an abandoned salt mine or something. I don't remember how that works.
Something like that. Yeah. So scaffolding is down and there's a lovely swamp in the, what used to be the briar is mm-hmm. now like cypress knees and creepy water moss. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird to see it without all the thorns because that took up so much space, and once they pulled
it
all
looks
that,
a little weird.
Yeah, almost like it wasn't made for the ride. It, you know, it's
almost, yeah, you know?
But I, you know, I think they're not done with that either. I think they'll be doing some more adjustments, but it's cool.
Yeah,
the moss,
I think,
and
so for sure
it finally feels like a swamp,
but it's a pretty swamp.
Yeah,
it is a pretty
flowers
swamp.
On it are super pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flowers are gorgeous. There's also like little colored bottle lanterns dangling mm-hmm. down from
those.
Like, yeah, me too.
Oh god, I can't wait to see it at night.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's the space that this ride may improve the most in some ways is contemporary Disney lighting it at night. I'm mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. pumped to see what they do with that presentation.
Yeah.
It could be really cool.
I mean, that's sort of been Disney's problem, I think, of late, is they're very good at night lighting and all of their parks close at like 6 or 7. It feels like, not that that's true, but when you, what you have like 2 hours maybe of evening, some times of the year, then the best times, of course, in Florida, you have like 3-4 at tops.
That was the real tragedy with Pandora.
Yeah.
Because they had the glow in the dark flooring, but they closed at 5 o'clock. And my son knew that at one point people were able to see the glow in the dark and make like stencils. And he was hell bent that he was going to get a Banshee stencil and a UV light. And he was going to go around. And it was like, we waited years.
Yeah. I've considered doing some stenciling at the parks. I never did it. The one I really want is the Yeti at Expedition Everest. There's that beautiful stone artwork stencil kind of thing that they have imprint out there.
This is totally new to me. I'm totally unaware of there being some type of like stencil
sculpture
happening at Walt Disney World.
I mean, I don't know if there is, but there certainly can be. There's plenty of stuff that you could do.
The stenciling at Pandora was just people bringing like a cutout of a Banshee mm-hmm. and laying it on the floor and shining like a UV light on it so that it would glow more than the rest, just with the pattern of a Banshee on the glowing floor.
Okay,
so then how does the Yeti one work?
You actually you stencil with it. So you put the paper
on it.
Oh, you
do a rubbing?
Yeah, it's like a stencil rubbing, I think is the term.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
wow.
But
that sounds cool.
You know, it's cheap gifts, theoretically. you still had to pay to get in. But
yeah.
We're slightly off topic. I'm trying to think of a good transition from swamps from Tiana's swamp to Dagobah, but not really. We have new Star Tours areas. Where are we going in Star Tours, Janine?
We are headed to the worlds of Ahsoka and The Mandalorian and Andor. They're adding additional scenes to Disney World, Disneyland, and Disneyland Paris to the Star Tours. Let's see, we've got... I actually haven't watched Ahsoka or... Andor, to my brother's chagrin.
Janine, that doesn't shock us here on the show at all.
I know. Honestly, Janine, you don't really watch much.
Yeah, it's not a surprise to me either. But chagrin, still chagrining over here.
Sure.
All the same.
Yeah. He's lobbied hard for me to make that a priority.
Andor.
Yeah. Just Andor. You could save Ahsoka when you're like.
What was that?
You liked Ahsoka.
I liked Ahsoka, yeah.
Yeah, you did. So that's for sure. Not me.
Yeah, I'm saving it for when I have insomnia, like when I really can't sleep, and I need something besides NyQuil. That's what I'm going to turn on.
You know, it would be. So. I think Japan's got me in the mood for 14-hour flight. Like, what can I do for 14 hours?
There
vibes?
You go.
I think Ahsoka is a pretty good. Like, it's low. Like, it doesn't ask a lot of you per se. There's a lot of hushed tones, though. You'll have to have good headphones. Everyone's
very, very palpable sapphic tension between two of the characters that it thrills me personally.
Sarah and I both just did the like dog head tilt, like, yeah, what? Like,
oh, really? Something that grabbed our attention finally.
I'm trying to think of like someone said, oh, yeah, I guess so. That's true.
Yeah.
But did we just notice how Nathan brought up Tokyo? At a subject that had nothing to do. He's going to be one of those people. Every opportunity, 100%. Every chance. Yeah,
Sarah, you are a hypocrite. Well, you've already been, so technically, but you're going to come back and you're going to do the same about Fantasy Springs. So
I did that. I'm not going to lie. I was you. A few months ago.
Yeah, so. I'm not even winning it though.
But she came with gifts, so it's allowed.
She did. Yeah, she bought me stuff. Thank you.
Yeah.
They sit proudly on my shelf. Behind me. Mm-hmm. I mean, fine. Star Tours, I guess. It's weird.
I guess. Yeah.
This is cool. Anything to upgrade that ride. You
sure.
Know?
Yeah. Star Tours, Millennium Falcon. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's
totally.
It's
No question.
The jukebox replayability.
Randomization.
There's like 250 wonderful. Potential combinations.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Sort of, because they've tried to now put them in timeline specifics. But I'm not even sure if they're going to do that anymore because Andor is in, like, you can't do one that's just the Disney Plus shows because they're all in different areas. I think I'm just sore because I want some Bad Batch representation and I'm not going to get it. I always thought they should have been meet and greet characters. I know that's like a lot of costuming, but with their helmets on, of course, because you can't find identical weird looking New Zealanders to play the part, but it's fine. My thing is you're right about Falcon, and Falcon's kind of terrible because usually a toddler is flying me into the ground. But at the same time, if that had more randomization, I would also be more thrilled because the Falcon can go places too. So I don't know.
I feel like it could.
Yeah.
I mean, it could go to the places that Star Tours is going. Like, why can't it though?
Do you think they would have taken advantage of that fact by now if they could? Because
Yeah,
you would think. I know that we've seen footage from.
Although I have a friend that has had some. That might be a possibility.
Yeah, he's digging himself up. He's covering his hole.
He's like,
that
do
sounds
I have
weird.
An NDA that I signed? What did I do?
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Sorry, I have something in my eye. I'm not crying about Star Tours.
but we're crying about how badly the Millennium Falcon is.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, Millennium Falcon, not so hot.
No.
Well, and I'm a firm believer. I think there was a conversation somebody had about the fact that you could, if you really wanted to, you could make each park, California's could be in like classic Star Wars and the new one could be in the new trilogy or Hollywood Studios could be in the new trilogy. It can still be Batuu. It would just be different times in Batuu. I think that would have been a more interesting way of doing it. Cause now I feel like we have
absolutely
like we have a lot of the same consistent content. I think that's the thing is I'm just like a little Star Wars doubt. And so you're like, here's Disney Plus shows. And I'm like, is this also going to feel like homework when I go on Star Tours? Like, oh, I don't know. I'm being poo-poo about a legitimately okay ride. So I should be kinder, I think. If you think Star Tours is a steal, maybe you'll also enjoy this next semi-good thing from Disney World. Bri, what sort of offering that suggests that Disney is not scared at all about Epic Universe are they doing?
Well, I've since learned that it's really not the greatest perk. I also learned that the water parks aren't open simultaneously. They're like different seasonal entities.
Yeah.
Not since COVID. There's a lot of refurbishing that's got to be done. A lot of refurbishing.
Yeah, apparently. A lot. Anyway, so Disney in its very strong rebuke to Epic Universe has decided to offer guests in 2025 the opportunity to go to one of the two water parks on the day that they check in to their respective Disney resort. It's unclear to me if they need to make that decision once they've checked in and then they can go to the water park, or if that's something that they can.
I think it might be like while you're waiting, because check in is at 3. So like,
I mean, as someone that worked in hospitality, I understand that mechanism, but is that definitely confirmed? Or
I mean, it would have to be that. I don't know how else they would do it. And they'll take your bags.
The parks would only be open for 2 hours because they close at 5.
I know. That's why I'm like, what's the actual perk here? Like, what are you actually getting with this? You know.
And what's the alternative when they close it because of temperature? Like, what do you
get? I just can't imagine going, because like a flight from LA to Florida is like 5 or 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
After 5 or 6 hours on a plane, you think I'm going to want to go to a water park? And like hang around all those people. I just can't imagine that.
Would do that if it was Volcano Bay. I would be so fucking out.
In fact,
the last time I went to Florida, that was the plan. Is that the day that we arrived, we were going to go to Volcano Bay, and then something happened. It didn't end up happening. But
it's like so rare that the flights are red eyes, like from here to Florida.
No, it's brutal.
Like,
it's brutal. Yeah.
It's so I don't know. Yeah.
Well, and then, parks that should be open later in dark. Like, oh my God, Volcano Bay. We were promised.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is, and they have done, water parks have done like night things. I went to one of their H2 Glow things that they did. And those can be kind of fun. I think it's an extra layer of like, I don't know, security. Like it's hard because there's not as much lighting. And though they light it fairly well there, I don't know why they don't.
Yeah.
But it's usually cold too, depending on the day.
Yeah.
How cold does it get? Like, I've been to Florida in the winter.
Sure.
It's only like 2 or 3 months, right? That it's like really, really cold.
Yeah.
It's a long winter this year.
It depends.
It got cold in November and it just got warm this week.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And they've closed it several times. Yeah. It may snap.
Yeah.
Back,
so,
yeah. There's a bit of me. Some are like, well, this is a way for them to fill the water park because the water park is not really seen as many things. And I'm thinking, well, they don't really gain anything by that except maybe a food purchase, which is not that much. And no one's going to buy a resort to get a free day at the water park when a water park costs you, what, $50 a day or something? Like, it's not a deal one way. So I kind of think they're just using this as a scheme. Like, it's just a way of saying we're doing something when in actuality it's too complicated to actually use.
It gets a headline that puts water parks and resort into the atmosphere.
Right.
And like Disney being gracious and generous with their offerings.
Yeah.
Right.
And to the people that don't really know about what's happening in the water parks, you think, oh my God, it's a park. It's a steal. It's what? Because I thought it was a park. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this sounds pretty good. But knowing Disney, it's probably always too good to be true.
It's I love the water parks and I desperately miss going. Janine and our families would go quite a bit there for a while.
Yeah.
And it was a blast. It was something like you do that for a couple hours, then go get something at Springs or whatever. And it was great. And then, or Epcot. But yeah, from a local's perspective, it's great, but I don't see there's a couple, you know, there are locals and DVC people. I assume DVC people will take, you know, benefit of this. So it's a perk, but it's not one that doesn't come with its caveats for sure. Let's move over to the West Coast with Bri. I don't know what you're getting. Iger has, of course, said something recently about one of your favorite intellectual properties, but then Disney is also refuting some of what he actually said. So what's going on exactly?
It's so weird. I mean, it's so telling that like I feel like the Disney news cycle for the past couple years has been like built around like shareholder and investment conference calls. Like it's
D23, that's it. Yeah.
Depressing. Yeah, that's what we're getting. But anyway, during a recent I think it was like Morgan Stanley, I don't remember. Some type
yes,
of
yes.
Evil
Incorporated Global Summit, yeah. I believe it was
yeah.
called.
Yeah. Iger mentioned in how the attendance to a park can be boosted with the arrival of a very popular land. He mentioned that the land, the Pandora Avatar land, was enormously successful, drawed a huge number of people in, very acclaimed, and that they are planning on a version of a Avatar land at the Disneyland Resort. Now, I was very excited to hear this because I do genuinely believe that that is the plan and have for some time. But the next day, today, in fact, Disney pushed out a press release kind of summarizing conference call.
Yeah.
And very specifically said a Avatar experience, again, reverting back to experience rather than land, which, you know, all this is just like shareholder corporate investment, mm-hmm. like nonsense. So mm-hmm. like take what you will from any of this. I'm fairly certain that they're going to be doing a land.
And I'm
delighted
be a full land.
To hear that. Yeah, I really do. As we just got, like, one of the times I was on the podcast, I talked about how Avatar is the only current Disney property that is really making a lot of money for them and
right.
consistently kind of like a
consistently as in every 8 years they've made one.
13.
But it's
13,
good money,
13
though.
You're right.
13.
But massive amounts of money when they did that. Sure.
Massive
yeah.
amounts of money.
Yeah.
And the land in Florida is, I mean, I think the best thing for me, I mean, that's definitely my aesthetic in general. Mm-hmm. So like I'm gonna be a little biased in that regard, but I think it is the most impressive land that Disney has done, at least up until Fantasy Springs. Like, I think that's going to be pretty spectacular too. I am very excited about this news. The frustrating thing for me reading internet comments about this is that everyone immediately assumes that it means that the experience in Orlando is going to be cloned and ported over to Disneyland, which I do not see happening. And that's me being perhaps naive and very optimistic, but I just can't imagine that they would do that, if only because the climate here in California would not be kind to the types of vegetation that they have in Florida. And I don't really think there's a way to translate that successfully here. And the second movie was so successful and had a radically different environment. And I think that could blend in really well here in Southern California.
Yeah. I mean, so my thought on that is, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about, water parks. If Disneyland wanted a water park, I think that would be the property to do it with, because you can it can be very minimal, much like the land is, but still, you know, you could go in and be like, oh, this is a cool vibe, and not know the story and still love it.
Not doing a water park in California, though. No. They're definitely not doing that.
No, and they don't have the space to kind of honestly waste on a water park
rights would be challenging.
And the temperature, like unlike Florida, it remains humid and warm. It holds the heat. But here in Southern California, it becomes like the sun goes down and it's desert. It's like, oh, God, we're freezing now. OK, gotta go.
Totally true. Yeah.
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 But I don't know. I don't know. I'm someone who's a big stickler on the fact that I don't think Galaxy's Edge should be in Disneyland. Like it's a strange mush of traditional lands that we consider with the traditional park, and then like a totally kind of outside of the park IP. Toontown kind of gets a break because it's Mickey, but I don't know. Like I California Adventure has kind of done that enough already.
I mean, so California Adventure, like the that theme is one of the worst decisions Disney has ever done.
Right, which is why they made it into California Hollywood Studios. Like, it's that's right, all it
but
is.
But even still, yeah, it's still got California on it. And because it's California, there ain't no way that they're going to... I mean, I don't... there are rumors that Avatar is going to be... is earmarked for the Hollywood backlot area of California Venture, in which case... I don't know if they would try to go to that like retrogressive, like live the movie, see behind the scenes deal.
I mean, there was for a while, there was talk of name changes for Hollywood Studios. And then also, California Adventures had kind of, can we just call it Disney Adventure Park? Can we just, what can we do? That's been a thing that's been juggled for a long time. And I think at this point, California Adventure doesn't mean anything anymore. It's just a name for a park that they can kind of do as they please. And I don't feel like anyone's going to be like, that's not California based, because you can point over it.
You have things like Pixar Pier.
Right. Well, sure.
That
but
has
like,
nothing to do with California.
Not anymore. Yeah. And like Spider-Man doesn't live in California,
but
so...
they're like the theme of Pixar Pier, like the aesthetic and the building structures and the look that they're going for there is representative of like old California boardwalks and things like that.
So, but a boardwalk theme is a boardwalk theme. So like, for me, nothing stops them at this point from adding it there. I don't think they have the room in Disneyland proper but if it's just an experience, and then the question is, what's an experience? Where does an experience go? Like Tomorrowland desperately needs something, but there's not enough space to make an experience out of it.
I mean, my dream of dreams, which I've mentioned before, is just bulldoze the fuck over Autopia.
Oh, sure.
And repurpose the lagoon, the Finding Nemo lagoon, and just turn that into the marine parts of Avatar Pandora. Cool. Kind of like a bridge between Fantasyland and sci-fi Tomorrowland. I think it would be...
It would make sense in Tomorrowland, yeah.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
That's my hope, because Tomorrowland here is depressing.
It's dark.
It's bad. Dark.
Yeah, it's bad, which says something. Because, ours got a coat of paint not too long ago, but it wasn't exactly like...
Ooh. Yours got the landlord special.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so we'll see what happens there. Let's go on over to my favorite place on the planet right now, as I plan my trip, and that's Tokyo and Tokyo Disney. We're going to talk a little more about Fantasy Springs. Sara, we got a big old video preview. What'd you think?
I am so excited. I cannot wait. I literally was like so freaking stoked. It just looks absolutely amazing. But this video that we're about to watch, or that we've already seen, whichever one, it is.
It'll probably be playing as we speak.
Yes, it will.
Magic of editing.
The Oriental Land Company and Tokyo Disney, they have released a video just kind of like, 3 months away from the opening. And it looks absolutely amazing. You get to go over all of the lands that are in Fantasy Springs, which is Peter Pan's Neverland, Rapunzel's Forest, and the Frozen Kingdom. There's also going to be 3 rides that we're going to be seeing in this video as well. So I'm pretty excited for it all. Like, what are your guys' thoughts?
What is there to say?
I was like, silence. Yeah.
I mean, it looks absolutely fantastic and sumptuous.
It looks fantastic. And each little component would be a worthy addition in and of itself. And then to find out that there's multiples of them.
Yeah.
I think the coolest
part
is like the rock formations. Like that's gorgeous. I want to know how they did that, and I need that over here immediately.
The Neverland volcanoes pumping out little toots of smoke. Something about that really has captured my heart. I am so excited for that. I mean, it's just so unfair, Disney Sea, man. Like,
That's Oriental Land Company money right there.
Are we doing here, folks? Yeah. Like, how is this happening here? I mean, the United States has fallen, truly, in so many ways.
Oh, honestly, yeah. Without question. There's not enough construction people in Florida to do all the theme park stuff if they wanted to do Tokyo stuff in Florida. Let's go over, just so people know, you mentioned that there is the Frozen Kingdom, which there's a new ride, which is not based on... the current.
It's not like the Frozen that we have here.
No, and the one that's being cloned in Studio Paris, right? I think is where it
right.
is.
And the one in Hong Kong,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's completely new because Tokyo's like, nah, give us a good ride. And then Rapunzel, we don't really know much information about the Rapunzel ride beyond the fact that it looks like it's a boat ride.
That's the one I'm most excited about, personally.
With the lanterns?
Tangled. Oh, my God.
It's
the lantern scene?
It is, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It is. It's the lantern scene.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. That's going to be so beautiful.
And then there's Peter Pan's Neverland, which has a small Tinkerbell's Busy Buggies in Pixie Hollow. So, like, a kid ride there. And then it looks like
But that one, I feel like, is just for the views. Like, you're just going to go to sea. Like, you know, just Skull Island.
Oh, I mean, really? Because I feel like you got the boat and you've got the 3D ride, which looks like it's probably either, we can't figure it out yet. It's either going to be like a massive boat variation on Pandora, Flight of Passage, or it's going to be a Spider-Man-esque sort of.
I feel like it has to be a variation of Flight of Passage technology.
That's my guess. Yeah.
It's got to be that.
Yeah, I think Tinkle fly around, and then it'll be sort of Soarin-esque, I guess, but you're kind of combined into a boat. If you look at the boat, if you can see kind of images, there's a couple on the internet. The sides go up pretty high, which reminds people of the Transformers Spider-Man ride. But I think it's high because if you ever turn right or left on Flight of Passage, it's just like, what's up, everybody? You can just see it really does take away some of the magic. Though I actually think it's pretty cool.
It's so fun looking up at rows and stacks of humans.
Crazy. So anyway,
I want to talk about the merch.
Let's talk about the merch.
I think that part is because that's what Tokyo does just absolutely so well.
Yes, absolutely.
The merch looks so amazing. First, we can look at the Fantasy Springs merch. Looks so cute. It looks like what they have. It's like all stationary stuff from like what.
Yeah. They love stationary there.
But they love stationary out there. Yeah, like it's pretty cool. Like there's when I went, there were so many shops that had like stationery stuff. Even at like the resorts and the parks, they had like a bunch of stationery shops, which is really awesome if you love, you know, writing is a lost art in the U.S.
I apparently. Want that so, Peter Pan pen.
I want the little everything
so bad.
There's some pretty cool Frozen merch if you're into that. Some creepy-ish dolls.
No, I love these Frozen dolls. I think they're really cute.
They're a little creepy.
Really?
They're creepy cute.
Really?
If anyone played It Takes Two, it reminds me of those characters.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes. I can see that a little bit. Kind of yarn-based. It's at least like kind of, there's an authentic nature to them, to the kind of the merch. I kind of feel like the merch for all of these, maybe not the stationary stuff, but like the dolls, they feel like they could be in the movie too. Like there's a, they don't feel like just generic. Here's an Elsa doll.
They're very stylized.
Yes.
Very, very.
I guess the, what would be the best example? Like the different
Star
Wars
Boys
figures.
Hats are.
The hats.
Yeah.
The Lost Boys hats are like in world, immersive, bring you into the story, and they have so many options. Like I think that's one of.
The lanterns from Rapunzel, they're also selling that too.
Yeah.
So,
let's talk about the Lost Boys hats for a second. Since you brought them
up. That's what I'm running for. Because as you could see, the little Tokyo hat in the background.
Yeah.
I'm going to get another one. Like, that's what I want so badly.
They look so cool. And, like, that's really the only thing. I hope they're not going to sell merch before it opens. But I may have to ask you, to grab me one of these hats. Because
I got you. I got you.
So
which
cool.
one
I
do you
you
want, Nathan? Which one? Which
God,
one got your eyes
is
on?
This so hard. I am a big fox lover. I love foxes. So probably the fox one. But maybe... I don't know. That little stinker, that little skunk is so cute. And I look good in black. So maybe it's the skunk hat for me.
The raccoon one is also pretty cute.
I mean, I don't know if I would wear any of these outside of a Tokyo park.
Okay, I got you. I'm going to do the raccoon one.
Yeah. But they all look
so... Where would you wear it outside of the Tokyo park? You wear it every day.
I don't know. It's not exactly my style to wear a...
Make it a trend.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's not going to stop me from buying one either way. But and then there's of course the Peter Pan, the just kind of the generalized merch too, which is like a mug and some more stationery and some, I think they're like
the shirts are pretty cool
magnets
too.
And stuff. Yeah, the shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, based on
the art that they have. I really like. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Tangled stuff. We should mention that one more time too. The big one there. I believe the lantern shines stars on your ceiling or shines lanterns onto your ceiling. I think that's what it does. Because they have another one coming out for I think it's Space Mountain's closing, for Final Flight, which is what they're calling it, if I remember correctly, because they're closing their Space Mountain soon. And they have like a Space Mountain one that shoots stars in your thing. So they've been playing around with that kind of toy model for a while. So it's cool to see them do it in different variations.
You guys, this Tinkerbell like bug bed set.
That's for you, Jenny.
Bugs and flowers. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Wait, so sorry, you've been to Tokyo Disneyland.
Yeah, I went in early November. I went to Halloween.
Actually. Oh, so yeah, recently. Last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it really as affordable as they say in contrast to here in the States?
So affordable. Tickets were like $50.
I don't mind saying, I don't mind saying, because I've just done it. And it's such a small price, I don't even mind saying it. The cost for 4 nights at the resort was...
Is it like 600, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
No, it was so... less. No, it was less than that.
Yeah.
Let me see. What's going on here, guys? Like, I mean, it's been said that, like...
That's why.
The yen is bad? Is that what it is? Is that all that it is? Or, like, the entirety of the Disney Corporation being carried by the Parks Division and, like, you know, like...
Mm-hmm. 600, you're right. It was 635 for 4 nights. Yeah.
I'm going to say that I think that the way that they have the park priced over there matches the cost of living of the people that actually live there. Mm-hmm. It seems like the Japanese people can actually go in and enjoy a nice day in the park without having to shell out thousands of dollars.
Yeah. And it might be...
Like, I think that's the thing.
Yeah, and it might still
be... I don't think it's just because the yen is bad.
No, but I mean, it might be a little bit pricey for them. I don't particularly know the overall vibe. I don't want to be too ignorant about it, but I would say that it's far more reasonable than what we have price.
So people here are just willing to pay it. That's ultimately what it comes
down
to.
Well, we get global people, so it's even...
And capitalism's a bitch.
We're not an island country.
Yeah.
And people complain about crowding, and like the only... It's like either you restrict ticket sales or you restrict them by making tickets exorbitantly expensive, and so it's just
pretty much
it's a different
How is crowding not an issue in Japan? I don't understand.
People are respectful. and they actually do stop selling tickets. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I've ever seen them stop selling tickets in the US. Like, no. Tickets will sell out in Japan days in advance for a day.
Okay. Yeah, like,
so they do crowd control really, really well. Mm-hmm. And the amount of people that they're allowing into the parks. But right. In the US, I think the only days that I've seen them actually sell the parks out was, I want to say, 2019 New Year's Eve, when there was like
New Year's and Christmas
in the park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple, so
we're actually sold out hours before the park closed.
They weren't. It's so weird because we have the reservation system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, maybe you could buy a ticket, but you couldn't get a reservation. But a couple weeks ago, it was a Friday and I wanted to take my son and I could not take him. Every single park was sold out.
Wow.
Well, sold out or they wouldn't let you in. That's two different things.
Two different things.
That's true.
Yeah, we're that's
closed
true.
To pass holders versus we're still making those.
Well, I even tried, like, what if we booked a hotel and we were a hotel guest? Still no.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the only way you can get, so like because we're playing standby and we're not, we're trying not to buy stuff we don't need to buy because who knows if we'll make it, though there's a very, very good chance. You can just buy resort tickets, when you get there. And because I have, because I have a resort, I'm staying at the resort, I can just buy tickets and I'm guaranteed entry. But even before I have the tickets, I can book restaurants in those parks even without tickets because they know I'm staying at the resort. So it's just a better system.
How many hotel/resort properties does Tokyo have? They've got the DisneySea one.
Maricosta.
Is it five or six?
Maricosta, Toy Story. The
Isn't
new
there like a Western one?
The new Fantasy Springs one. There's Celebration, Disneyland, five or six.
Oh no! I was
wow,
Paris.
I had no idea there were that many. Okay, because I believe Disneyland just has the two, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This one just has Grand Californian. No, we have three. Pixar Hotel, Grand Californian, and the Disneyland Hotel.
That's right.
Wait. Oh, yeah. There are three. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Three. We forget about the Pixar one. Yeah, totally. But, you know, it's here.
So anyway, enough about Disney, Tokyo or otherwise. Let's move on to Universal Studios Florida. We're going back to the East Coast. We had said not too long ago that Universal will probably get into doing drone stuff because it's harder in the middle of Orlando to do fireworks. And lo and behold, we have drone testing video over at Universal Orlando. So they are playing around, man. They're like creating, it looks like they're creating the globe out of drones. They're doing it. So there's a guarantee, I think, at this point that Epic Universe opens with a drone show. Because this wasn't even at Epic Universe. This is just for normal Universal. So it's kind of great. It's fairly non-intrusive, you know, it's quieter than fireworks. And you can hear the audio via when you're down below. So it doesn't really bother people that are sleeping or whatever in the middle of Orlando.
I hate fireworks.
I
hate them.
I like them, but I also think that there's a cost connected. For a while, I think it's still the case. The second biggest buyer of gunpowder in America is Disney. Behind the military, because of all the fireworks. I think there were some estimates that it was like $10,000 a night. And guess how much drones cost? Kind of not that much, really, to be honest. You just buy them once and reprogram them. It's a lot of investment, but once you have them, you have them. And you just got to do maintenance.
So we've had the conversation about drones.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Multiple times. And just to like reiterate, like it's legal to have them if they're only over water, right? In the U.S.
You certainly can't put them over people. So my guess is this is over water, or this is over property that's closed. So they can also close off areas of the park and say, like, they could do this. I'm trying to think in my head, Google Map it in my brain, but like they could do this, you know, beyond Men in Black or something at Universal and no one's back there, you know, they just cut it off. Mm-hmm. So there's opportunities like that to make it work without much issue. And of course, Epic,
I'm trying to think,
will be made for it. So,
cause I'm trying to think in Disneyland, mm-hmm. where could they go? And the only places that I can think of, if we're doing California Adventure, it'd be over the water. Right by the Ferris wheel.
It would be done.
But then also, they closed down Mickey's Toontown at night.
That's what
for
I was,
fireworks, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and
where
so
it was.
They've already done that. They can do that there mm-hmm. also.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I hope they get into using the drones more. I think it adds a different vibe. We've seen like Disneyland Paris use it like in tandem with their fireworks. So like, I think that would be really, really cool.
Yeah. I think this is the new sort of hot thing. We'll see how long it's interesting. I think you got to do cool things with it. It can't just be, you know, they did a Marvel one in Paris and it was cool. But like once you see Spider-Man kind of slowly move his arm and throw, and you're like, okay, that's cool. Now what, you know? So it's got to be a mix of things. I think doing it over the water and connecting it with World of Color can be really pretty. Epcot is just, I mean, they're not doing it, but it's perfect for doing drone material technically. In fact, you could, under good circumstances, you don't even need to launch them from the middle of the lake. You can launch them and they'll just fly over to the lake, you know, from the lake path at Epcot. So there's lots of options there. So we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Who knows with that? But we do have more details about something that is actually happening very soon over at Universal Florida, and that is DreamWorks Land. Seems to be all the details have been sort of revealed. I think we've seen a lot of these details kind of around, but we have sort of a announcement window for DreamWorks Land now. I believe it's supposed to be, let's see if I can find the data. I lost it. I had it for like a hot second, and then I lost when the date is going to be, or the date window. It looks like it's going to be, one second, summer, this summer, So pretty soon. It's not really that hardcore, so it shouldn't have much of an issue to open. But they have a Trolls area, which utilizes the old Woody Woodpecker's coaster. But it's really pretty now. And if they add all this like fake foliage and stuff, it's certainly...
Love it. Yeah. It's very Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm.
It's much prettier.
And like Bugs Land that was in Disneyland before they got rid of, before the Avengers campus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the Trolls aesthetic.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. That's weirdly the thing that I was least interested in at first. Mm. But now that I've seen the concept art, I'm like, that. I
Have you seen the Trolls films, Janine?
Maybe. Not in a long time.
Okay. You haven't seen the most recent one? The World
Cup? I haven't seen the most recent
one. The newest one's Band
That's
Together.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
Oh no, you're right. Yeah. The World Tour was the second one.
Right. Yeah. Third. I've seen World Tour.
Yeah.
But I have not seen Band Together.
The Band Together where they have a boy band.
Yeah. I've not seen.
That's the most recent one.
It just came out. Yeah. Yeah. It might still be in theaters.
Honestly. It's definitely streaming on Peacock imminently, if not already.
Oh, of course.
I don't think it's in theaters. It came out like last year.
Really? Has it been that long? Anyway.
Yeah.
We also have Kung Fu Panda, which is utilizing the barrel. That was already at, was it Curious George was the water area? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Was that the water area?
The bucket.
Yeah. So the bucket never left. You could see photos by a reconstruct always flying over, and the barrel just, everyone was excited because the barrel just stayed there. So it is, Kung Fu Panda is a mix of dry and wet areas. So kids can play around and practice Kung Fu. Apparently you can meet Po via like a screen. It doesn't sound like a turtle talk thing. It sounds like more of like do these, probably something kind of like Simon Says, or you know, do this motion or do this thing, because it just seems to be, you know, a training video kind of concept. So we'll see what that looks like, but it's cute. I like the design of everything, and it brings a different aesthetic to that corner. And then Shrek's getting his outhouse
swamp.
And his swamp. So two swamps this episode. Tiana's getting her swamp.
Two swamps.
And
yeah.
It's we're not about draining the swamp over here in Florida. We're about
fill that swamp.
So we are swampy theme park rats.
Swamp rats.
I love
it. That's nice.
I like it. We're swamp rats.
What's funny is that Kung Fu Panda 4 is out in theaters.
Correct.
And they're also releasing Shrek 2. Because it's the 20th anniversary, which just sounds so weird.
Oh man,
for
feel
Shrek
old.
2. So
Denki.
Those are in theaters if you want to go check them out.
Go see Denki.
But I think it's crazy the turnaround time, because it feels like it wasn't even that long ago when they announced this, and now it's actually opening up, like literally this summer.
Well, it's not,
and here
it's some building of buildings,
but it's something. Okay, but like we see Disney doing what, like. Let's be real. Like, Disney will be like, "Oh my god, the freaking treehouse took a
that's
damn
true.
Year."
Yeah. Look, it takes a long time to create blueprints to show off at events and then do nothing with. Okay, it takes a
those
long.
Those renderings are a lot. Yeah, it does take. Shout out to the graphic designing team.
It's not your
Y'all
fault.
Are amazing.
You know, make your money. It's fine, but yeah. So that's what's going on over there. But over at Islands of Adventure, we're going to go over to the Islands of Adventure and talk about, you know, they've got some animatronics at Islands of Adventure, but this one is one you can't see because it is currently working at Circus McGurkus in the back. The employees, because it's recently reopened after a big refurbishment, and in the back, a robot is now managing the fries. So in this sense, he's known as Horton the Fry Robot by team members, which I think is a good nod to Dr. Seuss. But this isn't like a special Universal robot. This is just, it's called the Frybot. And it does fries. That's its whole thing. People load it and it flips it. And when it's done, you know, you basically reset it manually and do all of that. So it's basically a way to turn fries, I guess, is the best way to consider it. What do we think? Is this the end of, is this a labor disaster, or is this finally, we're not having kids burn themselves as they try to make stupid fries for screaming toddlers?
I mean, the people were afraid of AI. you should have been afraid of the Fry robot, I think, this entire time. So, I don't know.
Have you ever I think it's pretty cool. been in a fryer
yes,
in a kitchen?
I used to make fries for a drive-in.
I was asking Sarah because you seem pretty confident that, like, no, this is, like, the opposite of job creation. This is evil. But
No, I think it's pretty funny. I think it's pretty,
pretty
cool.
awful being near a fryer and doing it. But I also share the same concern about, like, jobs and robots and AI taking our jobs and whatnot. I think that should be a very loud concern.
Oh, but, no, I was joking, by the way, y'all.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, here's the
I'm just looking around.
Here's what I would say. I would say that we are I do not like Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I think it is a bad movie. But there is a moment in that movie where he is his father works at, I think it's like a toothpaste factory, and they fire everybody and replace them with robots. But then the dad gets his job back because someone's got to fix the robots, right? And so for me, this is what I always think about when these things. I'm like, yeah, you could have somebody work there and fry stuff, but you're also creating a job if someone's got to go around and make adjustments and fix that. And that job is actually going to be probably at a livable wage, one would hope, as an engineer.
Yeah,
more technical jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have a certain level of menial job enslavement that people can grab onto and but they don't actually make a livable wage, and there's nothing, they're sort of stuck in a cycle. And while I don't believe that, like, capitalism solves this by making everything robots, I do think that the evolution away from, hey, you're going to spend the next, first of all, no one spends 20 years anymore working at McDonald's, at the till. That's not a thing. Though it used to be. And now it's like, you know, do you really want that job? Like, do you really want to just stand there and take work? I did cashiering work at a grocery, and I thought, God, this is really boring work, because you're in charge of talking to people, and you can screw up the payment system. And now a robot does it. And I don't know. It's fine. You know, it's life moves on, you know, like horse.
I feel like robots eliminate the drudgery.
Right.
Jobs, whereas AI kills the creative jobs that make life
correct.
yeah
and where AI doesn't make any jobs, robotics at least makes more jobs for engineering folks and things of that nature. We're a fairly progressive podcast, and I feel like we're coming very like bots, cool. I don't know, it's a fucking fry bot, like, what do you want, you know? It's you know,
it's a weird one.
It's dangerous. Yeah. And like, it keeps kids from getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's really lamenting.
No.
That the basket flipping is automated.
No.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Well,
I also just want to say that I think they should implement this in Jurassic Park also. Because there is a very iconic robot turning eggs in Jurassic Park.
Isn't that...
I think it would be wonderful if we could look in and see this same robot just turning fries over, you know?
I thought they used to do that. Maybe they didn't have a robot.
I think they have a little display.
But they don't have a robot doing it at all? Or showing up in it?
I thought that they had like a egg...
Oh, maybe that like a non-moving one that's kind of just like...
Oh, okay. Yeah, but not doing the job.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. This wouldn't even be a story if this wasn't basically a Kugla arm doing it. You know, this is if they had found a way to like just the system, the fryer itself brought the things up and held them and then brought them down. No one would even know about this, but they
went no one would care.
Fancy ass with it and put it on a Kugla. Maybe this is the new Harry Potter ride. You just get dipped. You get fried. Harry Fryer Potter?
Fritter?
Harry Fry. I don't
Harry
know.
Harry Fritter?
Harry Potter.
No,
and
Harry
the...
Fritter sounds gross.
Harry Fryer.
Harry Fryer.
Harry
Potter?
Ugh. Okay.
I mean, Harry Fryer.
No, I'm sorry.
Just let it die.
Yeah.
Let's let J.K. Rowling come up with some really obscene, on the nose name for the frying machine.
Yeah.
Just hearing that name was a jump scare.
Yeah, for sure. No, thank you. We can put her in a fryer. Okay, so moving on. Speaking of things that are going away, there is no more 3D glasses on Skull Island Reign of Kong, apparently. This ride, of course, is sort of, I don't know, I'd say 75% of the ride is basically the tram tour from Hollywood. And then, of course, there's a big King Kong kind of chest up that kind of roars at you at the end, which is very, 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 very cool. And I will also say I just saw a video online of people getting evac'd and all the lights are on in that space. And there's this giant Kong that's not moving. And it's the creepiest thing I've seen in a long time. Like, I do
He's
not
scary.
Dinosaur like at Animal Kingdom is so much scarier to me when like you come up on a Carnotaurus and it's not moving and it's broken and it's there's still roars and stuff. I hate it. It's gross. So, I don't know. They've taken out these glasses.
I've heard it's temporary.
Is that true? Why? Why would it be temporary?
I don't know. That's just what I've heard.
It wouldn't make sense for it to be temporary because it's like,
wouldn't make sense for them to do away with it altogether. I mean, that ride needs 3D.
Yeah,
like, you don't have the 3D.
It needs it. You can't just convert 3D to do like to 2D just like easily like that, can you?
Well, yeah,
they've done it before.
It's just a Doppler effect difference. So you're just taking one channel and showing it, but at the same time, it's kind of missing the whole point. Things need to snap out at you. That's the point. That's why the video.
If they just want to get rid of the whole ride, I'd be fine with it.
You know what? I would say that Skull Island might be one of my biggest attraction disappointments ever.
Same.
I was at my computer refreshing all day when that ride came out.
Same.
Because
like the years leading up to it, I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then that day I was like,
The facade's beautiful.
Everything they showed, you were excited about. And they're like, well, it's going to have this aspect. And I was like, well, that's fine. And they said there was an animatronic Kong and I was so excited. And believe me, I've been on the ride like once or twice. And I love that Kong. Maybe only once. But here's the problem. They put scare actors in the queue. I can't fucking deal with that shit. All right. That's not, not going to happen.
I've never had that experience.
If you get stuck in the queue, it's super, super loud because the idea is that, you know, it's like a horror thing where everything is so loud that you can't hear them coming. I hate it. And so
that's your biggest issue with the Kong ride?
No. My biggest issue with the Kong ride. Well, that's a big issue because I instantly don't want to go do it. Right. It brings anxiety to me. But my big reason for it is you go from confrontation to this and there's just no equivalency. Like,
no,
there were some big ass apes in that other ride.
and tangible sets that felt almost real and space and all of that.
My beef with that ride is the height restriction.
Mm-hmm.
There's like none.
Yeah.
And so like, you bring your small child onto this like 34-inch height restriction and you watch King Kong rip the jaws of a T-Rex and you're like,
it's a pretty
poor kid is traumatized.
The whole ride is traumatizing.
It's a gruesome ride.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically,
it's a scary ride.
It's so gruesome.
The Peter Jackson,
and for what?
The Peter Jackson movie is very dark. Like it truly is a super dark movie. I like it. I wish it wasn't like 1,000 hours long. But I do enjoy it. I know it's a completely different company. I know there's got to be some reason that's not happened. But I am all for like, just go ahead and do Kong Godzilla. Like, figure it out. Like, you can, like, I know it's legendary and the rights are different and they own Peter Jackson's Kong movie, right? So they can do stuff with that and those designs, but they can't do it with the other ones without figuring it out. But like, there is no Godzilla anything in America. Like, do it. People would love that. People would go crazy.
I have to say, I'm pretty sure that Universal regrets this, and I'm pissed about it. Mm-hmm. That expansion plot was for Jurassic, And for my entire life, as long from 1999, I've been waiting for them to fulfill all these promises on what Jurassic Park, the land, was going to be.
Right.
And prior to Jurassic World being a huge success, they greenlit this Kong thing. And now they're stuck with this Kong thing. And Jurassic has proven to be this evergreen franchise that's just barfing out money at them. And this could have been such a cool opportunity to do something with that.
Yeah.
And we got Kong.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you said that, Brian, because that's an undercurrent in my hatred of that ride.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's an odd.
I really hate River Adventure. Like, I think it's a shitty ride.
A bad ride.
I don't love it.
Yeah.
It's a bad ride.
It's a bad ride. In all its forms, to be honest, even with the updates, it's not a great ride.
Yeah. Not great.
I will say that we've talked about the, I believe it's Universal Shanghai or Universal. Somewhere that
Beijing.
Has the Beijing that has the new one. And it's like, that's all we want. Just give us that. I mean, I don't want Chris Pratt, but it's fine. Whatever.
I like Chris Pratt.
It's a much better. Shut up. No one likes Chris Pratt.
I'll take him.
I was kidding. I'll take him without the Hillsong Church.
Good luck.
He's allegedly not. Well, whatever. Let's move on.
Yeah, I heard he doesn't actually go to that church.
No. No, but he's like.
I hope so. Or I hope not.
He's like married to a Schwarzenegger and he's weird.
I just don't think there's a good, really good dinosaur ride yet. I just don't think we've gotten there yet.
Well, I think Beijing did it. I truly do. But
I haven't experienced it, so I can't say.
Sure, but, I haven't either.
And how many animatronics are on there? Two animatronics?
No.
The T-Rex and the Indominus, right? That's it.
No.
Everything else is screens.
No. There's one. There's... Let me think this through.
Isn't it two?
First Indominus. You got one Indominus right at the beginning. You have the Indominus Rex that races after. Are you talking about the Beijing one?
Yeah.
You have the Indominus that races after you. You've got the one with the ball on its tail that hits your car.
Ankylosaurus. That's the one I'm forgetting.
You have, I think, a Triceratops somewhere.
No.
No?
No.
My brain has a Triceratops in there somewhere. But if you don't, you still have the T-Rex at the end and another Indominus. And blue.
Oh, we do have a blue. Okay, that's good. That's good.
It's six.
That's a good.
And those are some huge ass robotics too. Those aren't playing around.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but you're right. We more dinosaur rides, in general. Okay, so that's kind of the news. We had some stuff that we thought about talking about with Iger and the proxy fight, but let's all not kid ourselves. Who gives a shit? Like. Make this go away. It's boring and we don't like Disney business stuff. It's snore. So instead, we are going to go to one of our favorite segments. Beware our guest. Okay, so we should lay a little caveat on this segment. This Beware Our Guest this week is less Beware Our Guest and more Beware Our Guest. A little comma after Beware, because it's more of a beware our guest, because we have two instances of guest things in the parks that they be careful of. The first is that and this one's a wild story, a doctor dies from an allergic reaction after eating at Raglan Road at Disney Springs. So it looks like I'm going to completely botch the name. So I apologize to this person. I don't even think I'll attempt it, to be honest. But they were a doctor at NYU, and they were visiting Raglan Road, which is the Irish pub here at Disney Springs. And this was in October with their husband and his mother, so her mother-in-law. Apparently, severe allergies to dairy and nuts. She ordered something. The waiter left to ask the chef to make certain the items could be made without allergen, would make it allergen-free, and said, yep, not a problem. And like the waiter like asked several more times and unequivocally assured them the food would be allergen free. She ordered the Sure I'm Frittered vegetarian broccoli and corn fritters, scallop forest sea scallops appetizer, and this shepherd went vegan entree with a side of onion rings. After that meal, her husband returned to the hotel room, and she. I guess was still hanging around Disney Springs, and she went to the Planet Hollywood nearby and basically suffered a massive reaction and collapsed and was administered an EpiPen, but it didn't take. And she was transported to a local hospital and passed away at the hospital. So this is just a they are suing the Great Irish Pubs Florida Incorporated, who own Raglan Road and Disney Parks and Resorts in Orange County, for this. They say the lawsuit states that Raglan Road and Disney owed a duty of care to its invitees slash guests to ensure that the food that was designated as allergen free and or food that was requested to be prepared allergen free was in fact free from allergens that would cause death or serious physical harm to guests with food allergies. It alleges Raglan Road failed to educate, train, and instruct its employees on how to prepare food in response to allergy requests.
What's wild is she had dairy and nut in her system.
Yes.
So they didn't just fuck up on one of the allergens. No. They got her
they
with
just
the
didn't
one
care.
Punch.
Sarah, so I'm not willing to say they didn't care. I feel like that is...
They probably just cross-contaminationed it.
That
it can be very easy
so?
To do yeah. that. It's like very possible to do that.
Yeah.
But for there especially, to be both out, both of these, like I just it seems like I don't know. It, to me, like this is a very large corporation. This is a company that deals with a lot of different types of guests with multiple different allergens.
Disney does
or whatever.
Raglan,
but it's not operated
right.
By Disney.
Raglan Road is owned by a completely different business.
But it's in Disney Springs.
Sure. Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Which has Disney employees who go through Disney training.
But the Raglan Road employees would be Raglan Road
right.
employees,
Disney Springs,
not Disney employees.
Disney
yeah.
Springs employees.
But I'm saying regardless,
no,
Disney's, both of them.
No, Disney Springs
whoever,
employees don't go through Disney training.
Nope, they don't go through Disney training like at all. But okay, but
no.
just like, okay, let's just say a random company. If you were working in the restaurant industry,
right.
I feel like you would
of
know.
Course.
Yes,
not
that's
to
a
do
good.
This.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's yeah. like, I think for me, it's like, this is just straight negligence. There's no, oh, we didn't know, or oh, it was an accident. Like, this is straight up, like, this is your
it's
fault.
As,
like, that's allegedly.
It happens all
allegedly.
The time. Yeah. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
You see,
this is
yeah.
so sad.
For decades, hundreds of years, in fact, centuries, people would just die. And we would go, well, I don't know. They just
that
died.
Fucking witch did it again.
Yeah. Honestly, like, because we didn't know about allergies and this kind of stuff. We just truly didn't know.
Yeah.
And in fact, they probably all died as kids because it was too early. You know, like they just, you know, they died of consumption. They just went, I don't know. Everything's consumption. I don't even know what consumption is, but,
it's just gross negligence in my opinion. That's just the only way that
it's
I
so
see it.
Hard. Here's the other thing. I do not want to blame anybody per se. I think it's too complicated and I don't know enough. What I will say is if your ass is that allergic, how come you are why would you risk it? Like I'm not putting it on her, but I am saying
Disney has a reputation of being very very good with allergies.
True.
And so you
yeah.
think you're on Disney property, you think you're in good hands.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the issue right there. That's it.
I think that's a good mm-hmm. point. I think that's a good point. It's hard. And you understand someone who's on vacation, they got to eat somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's tricky.
Yeah.
And she let her guard down thinking that it's Disney, they'll take care of me.
Exactly.
And then they assured her, yep, yeah. we can make it without those things.
Multiple
and I
times.
Would not be so many people are like, oh, gluten-free, okay. And they, like, just don't take that shit seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, oh, I'll just wipe it out really quick, and that'll be fine. Like, it's not technically in it, but, like, never mind that the dish that I just made did have it, and mm-hmm. all it takes is contact with something
yeah.
that had it on it.
Yeah, if it's that big of an allergy, for sure. It is strange because they
yeah.
act, they the way it sounds, the autopsy, like, it was a lot. Of dairy and nut, like not, it wasn't just like
that's what I'm saying. It was
tiny
in
bit
like,
fritters,
not...
vegetable fritters.
I don't get where
there was the sea scallops.
Yeah, yeah.
And onion rings and are sometimes made with like a milk batter,
like milk. Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I don't
so
know.
Again,
I don't know. I will say I went to Raglan Road last weekend.
Oh,
and
girl, are you okay?
I'm not allergic to anything, but the second we sat down, the waiter was like, so any food allergies
yeah,
I should know about? And, you
wow.
know, and then he noticed that we both ordered vegetarian. And so he like came back and he's like, okay, well, just here's the soup, but like it has dairy in it. It has dairy. Just, yeah. Like it's vegetarian. I checked. But it's dairy. Like these people are traumatized.
Well, yeah, they killed somebody. So
yeah,
that'll do it.
Yeah.
No one wins in such a scenario. As close to a car accident as you can get. Like that's not a car accident. It's the sort of things happen very quickly. And I'm not saying, sorry, you might be correct. It could have been someone being a complete asshole and being like, whatever. And putting two next to each other and not really considering which one was what, like, who knows? But if cross-contamination is that like effective,
I just hope that this is a lesson for the future.
Totally.
To any corporation, any restaurant, to like not take these things as whatever. Yeah. Like these things are serious. People have allergies. People have dietary restrictions, religious restrictions. And if they are coming to you and you are providing them a service and assuring them that they will be they're putting their lives in your hands, that you take that seriously.
My belief.
So I can tell you that's
the lesson.
Looking at their menu on Sunday, two of the things that she ordered are advertised as vegan.
Mm.
So like those should not have any
dairy without
any modifications. Yeah.
I mean, we've reached a point in society where I can get a seltzer water that tastes like coconut. So can't we just like not put peanuts in things? Can't we just like, as much as I don't necessarily love fake stuff.
I don't think it was peanuts. I think it was like actual true nuts.
Sure, sure. But you know what I mean? Like I just feel like from a litigious standpoint, even if you inform, people are still going to sue. And if I was a chef at this point and realizing that, you know, there's going to be a rush of things and people are going to rush. This is why Disney doesn't like throw in the Tomorrowland Terrace like some random, you know, cosmic rays. They're not like, and here's the thing with like nuts on top. Like it's just not a thing they do because it's a bunch of teenagers chaotically like making, you know, it's all in batch and made somewhere else and brought in and it's you'll fuck it up. So
for sure.
I think it's just one of those things where these kind of places need to either put the customer first or change how they're going to make their food. I think there's no other way around it. The last one is a guest falls into, this is just kind of fun, actually. A guest falls into Snow White's wishing well at Disneyland Park. She's just trying to take a photo on the well. And she kind of like, I don't really think this is, you know, I wouldn't even call this bad behavior. It's just like kind of propping up on the well a little bit. It's not a huge deal. But then the girl fell in. She posted. She did take it down, but not until it was like shared with everybody. And she did say, she said on, I think this was Instagram. No, it was Twitter. She said, I would like everyone to know that I fell into Snow White's wishing well at Disneyland. And I'm using that as an excuse to not do anything this week. So God bless you. You know, been there.
I hope she made a wish.
That too.
That's a fun little, just beware. Don't go near menus or wishing wells and you'll be okay. All right. On to our next segment because we have some litigious things to take care of. So it's time for Rat Court.
Hear ye, hear ye. Rat Court is now in session. The Rat-tastic Judge Nathan Hartman presiding.
Order in the court. It's time for Rat Court, and we have some different cases to behold today. Janine, would you please read for the record our first case?
Yes. So in our first case, a Florida woman, classic in the genre, has filed a lawsuit against Universal Orlando. Apparently, Jerrianne and Richard Clem from Broward County rode Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket, and Jerrianne got a bit jostled, and her head rocked around and hit the headrest too much and gave her a TBI, supposedly.
TBI being
a traumatic
brain injury.
Oh, okay.
They are suing for an excess of $50,000, which is the minimum that you have to put to get moved into a specific
bracket
branch of the legal system. They're demanding a trial by jury. her husband is suing for like his loss of consortium.
What's that mean?
He's a plaintiff. Like he's suing. Here, I'll pull up the full suit. It's real quick. As a direct and proximate result of defendant's negligence, plaintiff Richard Clem has suffered and will continue to suffer the loss of his spouse's services, support, consortium, and the care and comfort of her society.
Wait.
What?
My wife can't give me no more blowjobs because she got herself a brain injury right on that rib right rocket.
She can't give him braid anymore. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I mean, I've always thought that some of the best girls who get blowjobs have no brains. So, you know, that's just.
Oof. They gave it all
Happy
away.
International Women's Day, everyone.
Women's Day, y'all.
Thank you so much. That's a bimbo
Love
joke.
That.
I brought it back from 1985. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh boy!
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
but she's suing for a whole list. Like she's saying,
a lot.
Suffering, disability, impairment,
right?
Mental anguish.
Mental anguish. Wow. Jerry Ann.
She said loss of capacity.
Can we talk for a second?
She said loss of capacity for enjoyment of life.
We need to talk for a second about the fact that her name is Jerry Ann Clem. I'm not trying to make fun of someone's name. I'm just saying someone like named Jerry Ann Clem from Broward County would be the kind of person who would put this lawsuit on.
It checks some boxes.
Yeah.
It checks out.
It does.
What song was she listening to when she got a traumatic brain injury? Do we know? Did she go into the custom list and pick out Rainbow Connection?
I don't think it was Rainbow Connection.
No. Is that an option on the Fry Rocket?
There's a secret menu I learned recently, and it has Rainbow Connection.
The only
people with taste will
sung by Kermit or by like
the legit
anonymous karaoke. Yeah. Okay, cool.
The only problem is you have to ride Rip Ride Rocket. So.
Yes, indeed, that is a problem.
Yeah,
I have nearly blacked out on that.
Yeah, it's not for me.
I love it nonetheless.
You do.
It's
not me. Not for me.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
This judge. This judge is a baby. No, thank you. I will listen to songs on the ground.
The headbanging is a lot. I'm not going to lie.
But is it TBI worthy?
It's hard to imagine that a roller coaster could give you a TBI.
But those rests, like, they're hard. They're not soft at all.
They tell you to push your head back.
Like, you would think it would have happened before.
Yeah. No, I don't think you could get a TBI. I think she's just tripping. But go ahead and sue, girl.
Maybe she's very soft-skulled.
With a name like Jerry
Ann. Jerry Ann.
Maybe.
I would say that this was so. Of course, we have to decide if this is sus or legit. I would be more on the lines of saying it's legit if it wasn't for the fact that her husband's also like, I ain't gonna get any now because my wife's got a leaky noggin. So can I get some money too? That kind of throws it for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. So where do we land, Janine? Is this legit or is it sus?
I don't know.
This is your job.
I need more evidence.
We are not technically the Supreme Court.
I'm not the judge.
Well, I am.
Maybe I'm the jury in this.
Yeah, you guys are the rat jury.
The judge, I guess.
Are we the jury? We're the jury?
Don't question.
That's the vibe I'm picking up.
I don't know how this works, except we all give our vote.
Are you not the judge?
I'm the judge, but like, you know.
You do
At some point, we need probably to create a Supreme Rat Court. I don't disagree.
We need 9
but
people.
Lord knows I'm the only one with a robe. Actually, we need like 50 people to rotate and stop giving the Supreme Rat Court, which they are. We can just call them the Rat Court. We can't be the Rat Supreme Court because there's already rats in the Supreme Court. So, hi-o.
Right.
Literally.
Bringing my jokes in. I'll be
say,
on Carson next
it
week.
It is Clarence
Thomas's bitch ass.
Morgan and Morgan.
Oh, it's not Morgan and Morgan. Who's representing?
Nope. Krupnik, Campbell, Malone, Bucer, Salama, Hancock. Mm.
And a partridge in
a
pear tree.
Yeah.
Sus based Lauderdale. On that to me.
Sus from Sara.
Why?
Sus. I don't know. That's
don't
too
like
much
it.
Of a name.
Too many names.
I don't
that's
like it.
A, that's like a standard law firm.
Janine,
long.
It doesn't matter how you come to
sus.
Your reasoning. It just matters you come to your reasoning. So we're going to go to Bri, but we're going to come back to Janine. I will not order in the court. I will not pass this case until we all have our say. Bri, what do you legit or sus?
I'm going to stamp this with a big fat S-U-S.
Oh, we got a sus.
Sus, yeah.
Ooh, two susses. Sus. Janine.
I also think it's sus. I just can't imagine someone getting a TBI from a roller coaster and it not being a thing that recurs. Sure.
With other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, he has a faulty skull.
But he might, I mean, he might have a legitimate reason for saying that his wife is not giving him head, but it just might not be this route. Right. So look at other options.
The only thing that I can imagine is this woman is like incapacitated and like not functional as a human being to justify that. But this, like, it's hard for me to imagine that that's the case from riding a roller coaster.
You know what? I'm going to split this vote. What I'm going to say as my final declaration here is that I am going to award Richard Klim legit that he's not getting enough from his wife, as Sara said. And then I am also going to say sus for the rest. So sus. Okay, now on to our next case. Janine, could you please read for the record our next corporate-oriented case?
Yeah, so this is a fun one in the, if you're into like antitrust stuff and monopoly busting, there is a sports network called Fubo. I am not familiar with it. I've never heard of it. It sounds like football, like soccer. Yeah. They have called out Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers on their sports conglomerate app that they're putting together.
Yes, this new one.
They're basically calling it a cartel.
Big words.
Yeah, they said this is a duel to the death.
Big words. It really is for Fubo. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. We're fighting for consumers. We're fighting for customers. We're fighting for the tens of billions of dollars that are wasted annually on consumers paying for the same content multiple times. This is a very important process. We are sticking to our principles, to our guns. We are continuing to walk and chew gum at the same time as you see in our numbers. This is very much a David versus Goliath kind of situation. Fair, honestly. Like, I think that consumers probably appreciate having everything in one spot. But that it's tough,
it's
for
anti-competitive
competition,
which is something they said about ESPN as well ages ago in the cable years. For sure. Though that, got it. There was enough elsewhere that it wasn't as big of a deal. Sara, where do you land?
I'm going to say, based on me being anti-capitalism, anti-monopolies, I'm going to say it's
legit.
Legit. Not sus.
No.
Sus of Disney, legit of the lawsuit. Legit of the lawsuit. Legit.
Bri.
Yes.
I have recurring nightmares about corporate monopolies, so I'm going to have to say this is absolutely 100% legit.
Yes. I will agree. We come. Order in court. This is legit.
Is this our first legit,
legit
one?
Yeah. Well, this is our first legit.
I think
legit
that is our first legit one.
So, you know, this court is fair. We will take every case. But legit.
It does feel a little icky that when it's like some Joe Schmo suing Disney, we're like, boo. And then it's like another corporation suing Disney. We're like, yay.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is I don't like the idea of Disney having all this stuff. I don't really care about Fubo.
No, I totally agree.
I just don't like that they're like, oh, we'll just work with Fox that we bought half of.
Like a Katamari of capitalism. Rolling around, sucking everything up.
It's true. Very true. So we come to this rat court with this final case with a legit. Well, there you go. That was, of course, Rat Court. And now we are on to the mailbag.
You know it's nice when the postman has a letter in his sack for you.
Okay. So we have several people who have written in because of Dave's.
We have a beautiful big fat mailbag.
We do. So big, so big. It's like that one in Miracle on 34th Street. So it is the contest we had about where Dave shot his Blue Peter segment. And we have several people that wrote in. The first one is J-Rob. I should say we have three today. One is named, one person's name is J-Rob. The other is Joe. And the other is Rob. It's like, guys.
Oh my God.
Then we got J-Rob. All right. We got Joe Bean. We got Rob Joe. Yeah. So y'all, we really are leaning in on the Rob Joe demographic for our show, to say the least. All right. J-Rob says, the Blue Peter secret filming location is the backside of the New York City Library facade. Love the show, y'all. Thank you, J-Rob. We appreciate you. Joe, not Joser, Joe, says, your pal, other Joe, here. First off, yes, I am with Dave in saying that a Tangled musical would be absolutely amazing. That is something we talked about last episode. Just thinking about seeing the I See the Light sequence on stage with lanterns floating around the theater makes me weep. Just please, Disney Theatrics, actually allow it to transfer to Broadway if it does well. Still haven't gotten over how the masterpiece that is Hunchback was robbed of a Broadway run. Secondly, I think I know where Dave's Blue Peter segment was shot. So after multiple viewings and looking at way too many videos of HHN house lines based on Dave's hint, I'm going to guess behind the New York Library skyline facade next to Studio 33. Can't wait to see if that is actually the case. And then he sent us a cute little thing here, which is very, very funny. And it is, let me show you the graphic. It says, as you can see here, where in the world is Agent D? Well, actually, that's a question we're asking tonight as well, is where in the world is Agent D? We have one more, Rob. Rob says, howdy rats. I almost said that Dave's scene was outside E.T. because that's what the building in the background seemed to be, but couldn't think of where those columns fit. Then I realized it's likely behind the NY Public Library facade in New York. The building in the background would have been Confrontation at the time, and the large towers are holding up the NY skyline behind the library. So that was from Rob. So Dave did answer this. He did give a full answer. He says it was backstage behind NYC backdrop, next to Mummy, then Kong. Sometimes they run some Horror Nights cues near there now. So there you go. You were all three correct, and you all win the special prize of our admiration. And that's it, because we're broke. My students always...
Just really impressed with Joe's effort.
Oh, yes.
Like, that research effort was like...
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Pretty good. Gotta respect
that. We always
that.
Play review games in my classes for reviewing stuff, and they're always wanting extra credit. And I'm almost like, no, what you get is knowledge. And so what you have gotten tonight as well is knowledge. Now you know.
Love that.
You can point back there and say, I know of a man who once wore a Men in Black outfit and talked to some British people. what can you say? History, folks.
Not just any man. Agent D.
All right. So we're going to move on to our last, but... beloved, very beloved segment here on the show, and that, of course, is the Astuter Computer Poem of the Week.
That's why I'm a router for me computer. Everybody needs a friend.
Okay, here we go. We're going to talk to Astuter. And you know what? I think, sorry, you mentioned that we used to call it the Haikuter. While we're filming this, it is International Women's Day. Called the Haikuter once more. Done such a good job at International Women's Day. Just between my jokes that I stole from Rodney Dangerfield and all right, computer, Astuter, could you please for me just a little haiku about, I don't know, something interesting that happened, maybe universal. We never seem to do universal news. What do you got for us? Let's see here. Frybot, silent friend, Horton fries with gentle care, tech whispers, progress.
Wow. Yeah.
That was good.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So there you go. Another episode, sadly, come to a close, or maybe not sadly, who knows? But it's over, and you can go back to your life now. As do we, which we're all excited about, I think, which I think for us will be bad. Anyway, Rat Castle is produced, of course, by yours truly, Nathan Hartman. Bri, thank you so much for joining us. We always love when you can fill in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having
me. Yeah, absolutely. Where can people find you online? And you have a new movie that recently came out, I think we talked about last time. Where can people find that?
The movie.
That was a big sigh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The short film is available on the YouTube. It is called The Hatchling. Otherwise, I am available on Instagram. Username charismatic_megatrauma.
There you go. So you can find him there. And yeah, you can find us everywhere as well. You can find us on Instagram. We're doing clips. We're doing stuff on TikTok. We're doing.
Also,
yes?
I have a magic key now. So I'll be in the parks. I'll be back at Disneyland.
SAR's back at Disneyland. So, Disneyland's like, Mama's back.
I'll actually be going.
Mama's coming back.
I'm back. Yeah,
We're very excited about that. So we'll get some park stuff.
Yes.
And Lord knows, we'll have some material when we're all in Tokyo. So plenty going there.
Crazy.
Though my wife will kill me if I just do social media stuff. So, you know, you got to balance. You got to find a balance. Anyway. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find us on all that. You can buy merch. You can leave questions. You can put mailbag stuff in. If you have questions, we'd love to answer questions as well as, you know, send you guys questions and you give us answers. But we would love to give you answers. So you can do all that at ratcastlepod.com. And with that, grab your belongings and exit to the left.
Will you stop this foolishness?
What foolishness would you like to see?
Will you get out of here?